are live. We have another amazing Fraudcast for you. The whole crew is live from the Fraud Quarters. This is your ear rapist, Ben. We have Vince.
Heyo.
Blogger extraordinaire. We have Brett. Brett is in the house. Brendan, the human giant. Brendan listens to this theme song about 20 times a day. Every day. We also have... All right, you can stop it now before.
Okay.
And we have Lindy West's neighbor from Seattle. Laramie's on the Skype.
If you're ready for hot podcast action, press one now.
Beep.
I don't have a backup to that.
We got another fun.
I press two.
Ooh, you don't. That's backdoor action. We have another fun episode this week. Vince and Brendan saw Paul, a screening of Paul. Brendan saw Rango, so finally we can talk about that. I'm much more interested.
I'm really excited to talk about it.
I am too now. Finally, someone that I care about saw it. We're gonna talk about our new favorite pop star, Rebecca Black, who has a hit single racing up the charts. Guy Fieri's Lamborghini got stolen in San Francisco. The power of the Fraudcast is real. Vince came back from a bachelor party with a skinned arm and an ear infection.
Yeah, if I sound a little weird tonight, it's because I can't hear out of one of my ears. I think me and Brett were at a bachelor party over the weekend, and it completely raped my soul and dragged me through the streets. I woke up on Sunday morning, and I got like huge raspberries on both of my elbows from drunk wrestling, which I was doing with like a torn muscle in my rib in the first place. So that was hurt also. And then we got on the plane. Also, don't have your bachelor party the same day as the clock spring forward, and especially don't have it in Arizona where the clock spring forward, but Arizona doesn't actually celebrate daylight saving.
So your iPhones go off.
Yeah, but... so me and Brett have like three phones that have three different times on. I have no idea what time it is.
You're bleary eyed. Ear hurts. Yeah. Your elbows hurt.
So I get on the plane, of course we get off the plane and my ear still hasn't pressurized from coming down. It's like the worst plane flight ever, where it's all choppy and we all have like the hangover shame spiraling thing. So I'm in constant panic attack mode. I keep falling asleep, but I'll keep wake every time the plane bumps. I'll do that thing where you're having a dream and you fall off something and you jerk back awake all full of anxiety all of a sudden.
Full kick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the kick. You're full of anxiety, and your brow is full of cold sweat.
So many kicks, and then so
at least you didn't puke on the plane.
Yeah, there is that.
And the worst was the stewardesses are right by the bathroom, so I'm trying to be real quiet and discreet about it. So I'm like cat vomiting, like meow, meow, meow,
while crying.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you look to your left, you'll see someone puking.
Yeah. So then I woke up on Monday with. With one ear still stuffed up and my sinus is all full. So I found out I had an ear infection. So basically I'm like the sickly child.
How was Arizona as a bachelor party destination?
It's good. I don't think you're allowed in the state unless you have really big fake boobs.
Unless you're a stripper or a bachelor.
Yeah.
Well, you also have to dye your hair platinum blonde, correct?
Yeah, the women range over there from trashy stripper to slightly high class stripper.
Hey, bro, were you at Lake Havasu, bro?
Close.
We weren't that far. That's Lake Havasu Senior.
Do they range up to potentially high class or high price escort?
Yeah, all the way up there. Yeah, that's most of it. We were at the W, and that would describe most of the wait staff at the W.
The clientele.
Now, I'm going to be there next week from Thursday to Sunday. What do I need to know?
You don't need to know.
You just show up and party, man.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
Need to know how to fuck.
The W is like a club where there could be a rape.
They don't even let their waitresses wear pants. The party we went to just had them walking around in dress shirts and like butt cheeks.
Yeah, and then you're sitting on those lawn chairs and they come up to get your drink order and your eye is literally at crotch level. So you're like, she's like, can I get you something, sir? And the whole time I'm just thinking, don't stare at her pussy, don't stare at her pussy, don't stare at her pussy.
Vince actually
stared at her pussy.
Tripped up and audibly started mumbling that. Stop looking at her vagina, stop looking at her vagina, stop looking at her vagina.
It was like a foot from my face. I was had a hard
did
time.
Did you place the order with the vagina?
Like then did you try to open your beer with her vagina?
Why are you shouting at my crotch?
Like a fast food drive-in speaker. No, that's one Mai Tai.
So there was that. And that was
when I tangentially related, when I had a job hanging sheetrock, we'd be like on a ladder, like, you know, and I have like one hand on the piece of sheetrock and like drilling it into the wall. And then the guys on the job site, it was like this running joke where if someone was up on a ladder, you'd walk up to them and you'd talk into their crotch close enough that it like vibrates your pants. It's very, very difficult.
It sounds erotic.
It's very difficult to keep your concentration when you're trying to hang sheetrock doing that. So
did they have like a bullhorn? How do you vibrate it with your voice?
If you put your, do you want me to try it on you right now? If you put your mouth right next to someone's crotch and start talking,
do it.
And
you just vibrate it?
Yeah, it totally vibrates your whole pants.
I'm ready if you are.
Yeah.
from waist to ankle?
Wait, you have a vibrator. And you walk up to them. I got you so far.
Well, you have to have one of those Jews harps in your pants for that to actually
right.
work.
So then someone
walks up.
It's like Peter Frampton was playing guitar on my junk.
That's a talk box.
It's kind of just my retard voice.
So anyway.
Hey, I have an anecdote. This is like the Tonight Show, right? This is what we do.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we shoot the shit.
I haven't seen a movie in months.
So I was finishing up my business in the bathroom this afternoon, and I walk out, and there's a guy at the sink doing the thing where you splash water in your face and stare at the mirror, like, what has your life become?
Yeah.
And I thought the song Mad World's playing in his head, you could totally tell. And like, I'm like, I should really ask him if he's doing okay, but I'm like, no, I'll save this for the Frotcast. Walked right out. But he did that thing, he splashed his face with water, which I've never seen anyone do. Like,
with the long fuck, the fuck.
I like that too, because water literally gets in every part of the sink. So then the next person comes by and like leans over.
Yeah, and you get that straight protractor line across your crotch. Yeah. Like, oh, God damn it.
Who splashed water everywhere?
Looks like a geometry teacher peed on me.
Straight line urine.
Yeah. Or maybe an architect. Yeah, well, that would've been
funny. Brendan wanted to get to our favorite celebrity. Is he even a chef?
Oh, we're going to do before we do Rebecca Black?
No, I need Rebecca Black
I've right. been dying to play this song. All just right. dying.
So we're all now, I think it is some sort of
Vince's
drug.
Pussy's all wet to play this song.
I'm actually addicted to the song. I can't stop listening to it. Laramie, what's your take on Rebecca Black?
I mean, it's just so retarded that it's lovely. It's like retard art.
Also, just to clarify, this song is currently at number 69 on iTunes' top 100.
You know what this is like? This is like when they put the fiberglass or whatever in chew, right? So you're just like, oh god, it's just ripping through my gums, yeah. And they're just bleeding, and I just need some more.
Well, all right, don't
like. How long do you think it took them to come up with the lyrics, though? Seriously,
let's play it so we know what we're talking about. The videos are so glorious.
Let's not kill anybody.
I love it so much.
Vince wants to listen to the whole thing.
As Ufford said when he first saw it, he's like, this is just the essence of being 13. Like, everything about this video is just so hardcore 13 years old. Like, perfectly Ufford.
The video helps, though, because you can't see the dead behind the eyes by just listening to it.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
The auto-tune drowns that out, the humanity.
There's something fascinating about her cow-like smile. Where she just has the same exact smile the entire video.
I'm off to slaughter.
Yeah.
It is a bit bovine. There's no doubt about it.
But that, I mean,
which seat should she choose? Front seat or back seat?
I was going to say that.
Gotta have my bowl, gotta have cereal.
That's my favorite line personally. But it's true. It's such a dilemma. Front seat or back seat. But I don't see a third seat in the front.
The question is, right. Who the fuck is driving? Like, none of her friends are old enough to drive, clearly.
Well,
she rhymes rushing with bus stop.
She's a wordsmith, a goddamn poet soul.
Well, she's a pop star, Vince. She hangs with an older crowd.
I feel like we got to get to the rap part in the middle, just because that part is pretty fascinating.
I'd also like where she explains how weekends work in order of
she
days.
She explains how the days of the week work.
I think front seat, back seat may be a sexual metaphor, though. I think it might be.
It's all expository dialogue.
If this was if this was early Britney Spears before she became really overt.
This is how I feel like on Friday.
Gotta get down.
I gotta get my bowl, gotta get my cereal.
In case you haven't been over that yet.
We so excited. It's like she doesn't even speak English. So he said, I didn't know what the hell he was saying at first, but he says R.B. Rebecca Black. Apparently.
And this is just like a full-grown black man in the middle of this 13-year-old's video.
It has nothing to do with the rest of the kids at all.
I think it's Usher.
He's just driving by. He's like, oh, yeah, man, them white kids. No, I gotta say
or Mace.
It's Luda.
Mace needs work.
It feels like the lyrics came from an English as a second language class.
Yeah.
They put it together.
They seem like they wrote it in Russian and Google Translate.
It seems like I'm thinking like almost a Revenge of the Nerds or Police Academy-esque movie, and this is like the triumphant like final moment where the ragtag bunch comes together and performs their song at the big dance.
It's got to be like the guy with the big hair playing the electric violin.
Right.
So wait, when did was this released, or when is this on YouTube?
It's been out for like 3 days.
It came out last Friday.
Partying.
And all right, so the backstory on it is there's a company called Arc Music Factory run out of L.A. by one Clarence J. with partner Patrice Wilson, who are both credited on the YouTube video. Their business model is simple. Give them money and they will produce a formulaic pop song for your 13 to 17-year-old daughter, complete with video, and then your daughter will become a famous music star like she or you has always dreamed.
Sound like a couple of pervs.
Wait, Vince, be honest. Are we too old to do that? Because that sounds really fun.
Yeah. We need to do... I think we're a little too old. We need to do like Christian rock or something.
Well,
I also feel like if I bring them a 12-year-old, they're going to make it happen. money, you know what I mean?
Which is a coincidence because I just happen to have one in my trunk.
What would you do for a 12-year-old?
I do like that they break down 4 of the 7 days of the week, though.
What about the other three?
Wait, so records are lost, except for that. Someone will be able to put together a little bit of how society works.
Our society. Oh,
God. A canticle for Rebecca Black.
Do you realize that he didn't make a single rhyme in that entire rap?
Well, see, that's how powerful Rebecca Black is. You don't need to rhyme anymore.
That is what was fascinating to me about that. Like, there's a rap breakdown in the middle where he says, like, a bus, he's in a car, and he does not make it a single rhyme the entire time.
But it also doesn't make any sense. It's just like a bunch of words.
Driving through my car, gonna go to the store, gonna get some cereal, gonna grab some stuff off the shelf. And there's a girl, she's riding in a cart now. There's a guy, he's got a cat, and he's got a cat on a leash. And there's another dude with some bags on the checkout counter. Like, you can just say anything, it doesn't matter.
$4,000.
We can turn you into a star.
10 million views is no joke, Vince.
Can you say stuff? Are you capable of saying stuff and or are a 13-year-old girl? Then you could be the next internet star.
Can you consistently think of words to say? They don't have to rhyme.
Just don't stop talking.
Honestly, it's do you speak English? Can you put consecutive sentences together?
You don't have to conjugate.
No.
You just have to get a verb in there.
Conjugating is frowned upon. It's
go
we
down there, put a shirt on.
Yeah. We so excited.
Yeah. Which one can I take?
So what comes after?
Dude, she can't even
sing
with auto-tune. Like even auto-tune, she still has a horrible. She's totally tone deaf.
Oh, I picture that poor robot just going out in the back and blowing its brains out.
She like exploded.
I can't fucking do it, man!
She exploded the auto-tune machine.
I'm not a miracle worker. I'm auto-tune.
Like a bunch of springs fly out, like in the cartoons.
It just does the sink water fuck. Just, oh,
like,
God.
Like, please insert the song. No, insert the song. Where's the song?
Yeah. I feel like the government needs to step in and start regulating auto-tune at this point. It's gone too far.
I thought Jay-Z killed it. Didn't it die?
It
should have.
It's been resurrected.
Well, this is our new national anthem, so be ready.
The thing is...
Sorry, go ahead.
This will never happen again. This is the most generic song ever.
What are you talking about? This is pure musical genius.
It's avant-garde. It's groundbreaking. Music will never be the same.
It's avant-fart.
Everything was...
Avant-tard.
She's so happy. Look at her. What do you think getting down and partying means when you're 13?
I was wondering about that. Like, what
just
are her parents?
In a car.
What does her dad think about her talking about getting down on Friday?
Well, is there a dude named Friday? Maybe we've gotten to the bottom of it.
We're gonna make s'mores and maybe TP one of our friends' houses. It's gonna be awesome.
I feel like if you're a dude, you set stuff on fire. I don't know what goes on.
Yeah, definitely set a lot of stuff on fire when I was 13.
Yeah.
The thing is, she clearly opens her Friday by going to school, right?
True.
Yes.
School bus.
Hold on. Back up, Larry.
She's all bummed.
You forgot the part where she woke up to her alarm and then went downstairs to get a bowl of cereal.
Yeah,
a bowl.
Got to get her bowl. Got to get some cereal.
And then there was like 50 people in her house. That was kind of creepy.
She probably has one of those family, like those crazy Christian families.
Oh,
like
she's a Duggar.
Yeah, she's one of the Duggars, yeah.
Is she from L.A.? Is that how this works?
Probably.
Where's the studio?
The studio's in L.A.
Yeah. I feel like they'd make a killing out in the Midwest.
Oh yeah,
you know
it seems very targeted to like the like Christian
to everybody
sort of crowd
targeted to everybody, Vince, because it's awesome. Vince can't stop watching.
I am kind of obsessed with it at this point. It does fascinate me. I was literally walking down the street whistling it on the way here. Party and
yeah.
now
there's no way anyone can say
on Friday. You gotta.
There's no way anyone can even say party and party without everyone going, yeah! Yeah.
At least not for another couple Fridays.
Right.
And then,
but what comes after that?
Well, I think it's Saturday, and then after that, Sunday, but then after that, I'm lost.
Fuck.
It can't be a coincidence that Nate Dogg died today.
Oh.
I mean, I don't want to bring it up, but his spirit clearly passed to another person.
Seriously.
And
I'm out. Or he heard the song and went, hold up. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and die right now.
Oh.
I put a picture of Warren G on my Facebook, and I put RIP Nate Dogg, but no one's responded to it yet. I'm kind of waiting.
Someone needs to regulate Rebecca Black.
It's all about you, isn't it, Brendan?
I realize Yahoo actually made that mistake.
I saw that like right before I put it up. Someone pinged that to me. Oh, well.
Well, so now all music, music's going
to
be Rebecca Black-esque.
I think she should hook up with Charlie Sheen and create like the ultimate, become one of his goddesses, and it'll be like the ultimate pop culture juggernaut.
Holy shit. Well, these are the end times. I just figured out what was going on right here. These are the pop culture end times.
Charlie Sheen, tsunamis, Rebecca Black.
I think that earthquake happened right about the time
that Charlie Sheen did his like power bump.
No,
I think Rebecca
bumped
Black.
Did he bump the universe?
No, 7 grand.
When they first released Friday on YouTube, I think is simultaneously the earthquake
because all those kids jumping up and down.
Party and party.
Has anyone put this underneath Ice Cube's Friday? Because that would be a good video.
I like
that idea. I can't remember what that sounds like, though. Because you know why?
I'm talking the Rebecca Black song with the movie Friday.
Oh, yes.
I saw something on the internet with a picture of her and then a picture of Smokey and Ice Cube or Craig going like, damn! You know, like,
that actually would be pretty awesome if you just made that, put some clips from Friday the movie, and then just the song, and put it all together with some silly clips of like Debo punching people out, party and
yeah.
We'll write that down.
Yeah, jot that down.
Brendan really wants to talk about Guy Fieri though.
Oh, he's been foaming at the mouth. So for those of you that did
his
not,
hair went all spiky.
For those of you that did not,
yeah, bro.
He's got a wristband on for no reason.
He's like, Guy Fieri is just like a Dragon Ball character that's been standing there on fire for an hour and a half.
Except he's holding like a ball of meat in his hand instead of a glowing fireball.
It's a Dragon Ball sandwich.
For those of you that didn't listen last week, we did mention Guy Fieri for some reason. I don't know why.
We're talking about food shows where they've stopped being about good food. It's just Guy Fieri going to a place and it's like, well, how do you make this manhole cover-sized tortilla? It's like, well, Guy... We get about 6 pounds of cheddar cheese.
Is that right?
And then we make a really big tortilla.
A really big tortilla, guys.
Wow, bro. Could you guys hear this? This is awesome.
Bump it. Give me a fist bump, man.
Yeah. So the following morning, we wake up to a local news story.
It was actually, we recorded the Fraudcast on a Tuesday night, and it happened Tuesday night / early
That's
Wednesday
true.
Morning.
That's
so
true.
Mere hours after we
I'm
recorded.
I'm not saying we stole his Ferrari, but I mean, it's looking that way. I think we're all...
Lamborghini.
Oh.
Get it right.
He's, that's his alibi. Oh.
Shh. It's in Brett's garage if
he
you're looking.
He should have owned a Ferrari because it had been like Guy Ferrari.
Guy's Ferrari?
Guy's Ferrari.
Oh, man. Guy Ferrari. Jesus.
It's Guy's Ferrari. It could have been almost simultaneously. So, Brendan, you want to tell the world what happened for those of you that don't know?
Since you live like a block from there.
Yeah, it's this like Bentley exotic car dealership, which, by the way, if I had an exotic car dealership, I would just sell regular cars, but then there would be Asian girls in there that could give you hand jobs when you buy one.
If I had an exotic car, I wouldn't want it anywhere near Guy Fieri's fucking gaudy piece of shit.
That's true. So anyway, it's like 2 blocks from where I live, ladies. Anyway, what they did, it's they sell like Bentleys and they have
you
want to
go fuck in a Ferrari? It's a couple blocks from here.
I'm not going to fit in the back, though.
It's Guy Fieri's Lambo.
I'm going to jizz in the ashtray, and then he's going to put it in his next sauce. All right. So basically what they did was these thieves like actually broke in through a skylight and rappelled down and stole the Lamborghini and took off with it. And so because there was a skylight break-in, and there was obviously multiple people because someone cut the lock from the outside and did the roll-up door so they could drive out, which is – cool, but second to I wish they had just driven through the glass. That would have been extra fresh.
Agreed.
Just driven straight
like
through the glass.
Like The Rock.
Right. Or I think they did that in The Rookie with Charlie Sheen. Done in a lot of movies. Anyway.
It's a great move.
So I was – it is. Let's not forget. I think they did it in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They probably did it multiple times.
Could this have been a minute to win it kind of situation?
Maybe, yeah. But anyway, they took off with it. Of course, it's yellow. Yellow Lamborghini because it's
a lot of those
Guy Fieri.
He's like his hair and flames.
But because it was like such an orchestrated job and it involved rappelling, I totally imagine like these were not common street thugs. These were like the guys from Die Hard, right? So
Kevin
I was totally
Smith?
Picturing like what?
Kevin Smith?
We are here for you. We are
not Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, pardon.
We are here for your Ferrari.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah. So I was picturing like a bunch of guys like rappel in, and then they take their masks off, and they have like blonde hair, like in ponytails, and they're like, "Where's the car?" You know. And there's like the one guy. They're like handsome and like erudite and like kind of smug, you know. And they're like, "Yeah, it's here," you know. And then they got like the guy on the outside. He's like the fall guy, so of course he's like probably black or something. He's like, "Guys, I'm getting through this lock in 20 seconds. The alarm's going to go off, and if you're not out of there, it's curtains for all of us," you know. And like, Yeah, and then the guy's like, he gets in, you know, and he's like, "Mr. Fieri, the next place this car is going is not Flavor Town." And then he like revs the engine, you know, and like leaves.
Just peels out.
That was how I pictured it, yeah.
Yeah.
But in real life, they're probably like, "This car reeks of terrible grease chili." Yeah.
It smells like a bacon chipotle burger in here.
Oh, it's just got like a ham hock air freshener.
Yeah. Well, actually, Anthony Bourdain, once he heard about it, he started putting on Twitter. He's like, "Hey, guys, check me out. I'm in a yellow Lamborghini if you see me around San Francisco." And then he was like, "Hey, what is this under the seat? Is this a Nobu roll? Oh, my God. What's in the middle? Pork? What kind of beast drives this car?"
I feel like Anthony Bourdain would be better if he was always limited to 140 characters.
Right.
Agreed.
So he couldn't just go on and be like, "Oh, the people of this proud land make me feel like I want to do cocaine again."
There was a cute Craigslist ad that came out immediately after the story broke.
That was very, like, very funny.
Lambo for sale, may reek of douche.
Yeah.
Unload immediately.
It said cash only. I will also trade for airline vouchers. I need to get out of the country very quickly. I can't stress how fast I need to get out of the country.
It also said it's bright yellow, but if you're willing to pay $200,000 to buy this, you probably have enough money to get it painted too.
Very funny.
Yes. So anyway, basically, we did not steal Guy Fieri's Ferrari.
But we did cause it.
But we feel like we kind of willed it to happen.
We did find a past Fraudcast where we used winning as a catchphrase before.
It was pointed out, do we have who emailed us in? Because we don't actually listen to our past Fraudcasts, even the current ones.
Yeah, we don't listen to our current Fraudcasts.
Someone does.
Yeah. I do.
It was El Friedlo.
El Friedlo, thank you.
El Friedlo,
thank you, El Friedlo.
So it's kind of Sasquatchy, and it's maybe we did, maybe we didn't.
Yeah.
Is El Friedlo Spanish for the Friday?
Friday.
No. Okay. I thought that was like a sign or something.
I hate to crush your dreams, but it's Viernes.
Viernes.
Yes. Viernes.
Viernes.
Ooh.
Vamos a la bajo en Viernes.
I'm pretty sure.
Fiesta. Sí.
Guys, seriously, we have an international hit on our hands.
How do you say bowl?
No sé.
Vamos a jugar cereal?
Vince, I know you also wanted to talk about the situation at Trump's roast.
Oh, do you want? All right.
Oh, it was awful.
I saw that you queued up the Asians in the library.
Let's do one. All right. Pick one.
Asians in the library is pretty funny.
All right. So I don't know all the details of this, but I know that there was a girl that complained.
I think to set this up, we just need to know that she goes to a UC school.
And she is not Asian.
Well, you don't know. No. Wait, half the people don't know what UC is. UC is the University of California. It's the nerdy half of our public school system.
Yeah. Okay, so here at UCLA, it's finals week. So we know that I'm not the most politically correct person, so don't take this offensively. I don't mean it towards any of my friends.
I'm also not the smart human.
Also, she's blonde and naked-eyed.
So you guys are not the problem. The problem is these hordes of Asian people that UCLA accepts into our school every single year, which is fine. But if you're going to come to UCLA, then...
That's fine. She's not opposed to that.
Use American manners. So it used to really bug me, but it doesn't bother me anymore, the fact that all the Asian people that live in all the apartments around me, their moms and their brothers and their sisters and their grandmas and their grandpas and their cousins and everybody that they know that they brought along from Asia with them comes here.
I can't really tell them apart.
On the weekends to do their laundry.
On Friday.
Buy their groceries and cook their food for the week. It's seriously without fail. You will always see old Asian people running around this apartment complex every weekend. That's
disgusting.
What they do. They don't teach their kids.
Does she live in Chinatown?
You know, they don't all.
I do.
No, she goes to UC.
Is their manners, which brings me to my next point.
UCLA is in Westwood, right?
Hi. In America, we do not talk on our cell phones in the library. Where? Every 5 minutes, I will be... Okay, not 5 minutes.
In America, we don't go to the library.
I'll be like,
we burn them down.
Into my political science theories and arguments and all that stuff. Getting it all down, like typing away furiously, blah, blah, blah.
She's also got the skunk hair from the 909.
All of a sudden, I'm about to like reach an epiphany. Over here,
her boyfriend totally drives a lifted Tundra.
Oh, definitely.
Jing Chong Ling Long Ting Tong.
Oh, good.
Jing Chao.
Are you freaking kidding me? In the middle of finals. So being the polite, nice,
I want to say. I guess this is like a new thing. Like we're a little too old for this now. But I guess girls at like college age and younger, like the new thing is to just bust out your computer and talk to it like it's a diary
and
then
wear
put it up on
the
YouTube.
Most ridiculous push-up bra you can find.
Yeah.
Dude, I couldn't stop thinking about when she said American manners. All I could think about was ranch dressing.
It sort of reminds me of Ricky Bobby. He's like, no offense, but it's like you can't just say whatever you want. I said no offense. I sure as hell can.
I think she's talking about Orientals, though, not Asians.
That's true, Laramie. I think
it's
you're
a
right.
Thin line, my friend.
Oh yeah, bring it on, Vince.
Hold on. I think Perry Gripp might have written a song about this girl.
Oh God, I love this song
everybody.
So much.
So this is an update about me.
She's a young girl talking about herself. Break your heart and tell the world about it. She's gonna break your heart. She was all, he was all, they were like, you were all like, oh my god, like totally. We were like, I was all, they were all, he was like,
God damn it.
That's up there with News Team Assemble with in terms of songs that never fail to get me absolutely pumped up.
Oh, we're all so much better than like Friday.
I fucking love Perry Grip so much.
So much.
If you guys don't know who Perry Grip is, go onto YouTube and just watch all of his videos. If you're in a down mood, not feeling so good, watch like four of his videos. I promise you, you'll feel better.
I'm going to try and get him on the show because I do know a guy who apparently knows him.
I just like fanboy squee the whole time.
Yeah,
though,
pretty
right?
much.
How do you?
He pretty much predicted that Asians in the Library rant.
Is she for real though? Is she talking about Chinese or Japanese or Vietnamese? I mean,
she doesn't know the difference.
I think she's probably talking about Chinese because they tend to have the worst manners.
Laramie, there's no distinction.
Well, clearly she was speaking Chinese there. I mean,
yeah, that was not
that's Chinese. Okay.
It was Mandarin, I believe.
No, yeah. It was actually Cantonese. That's what she studied.
I can never. The subtleties are lost on me.
Ben knows all the dialects of fake Chinese.
If it's finals week, why isn't she in her sorority house studying? That's what I want to know.
Never mind.
What? Would you almost incriminate yourself there? What were you going to say?
What should she be doing, Brett?
Brett's going to plead the fifth.
Blowjobs.
She definitely had the like hair that's black on the bottom and white on the top. It's like you know you're from the 909 when you have hair that's
explain
black.
The 909. You keep dropping these.
It's
California
Inland Empire.
References.
It's like you know Riverside, San Bernardino.
It's also known
area.
As
we've discussed it before on the podcast that on the broadcast that Matt came on. We had Ufford from Warm and Glow as a guest. We discussed the 909 because
it's the Florida. It's the Florida players. Of California.
It's also known as the Tuckies. So it's like River Tucky and...
Right. Wait, really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that, but that's a word that sums that place up. I don't know why, but...
Just throw Tucky.
Aren't the Asians known for manners, like, throughout the world?
And quietness?
No.
And reading?
I know it sounds... But I actually do live in Chinatown, so I'm being slightly facetious when I say that Chinese people have the worst manners, but they are loud as a culture. And
they have
sort
a delightful edge to their shortness. Yeah,
they spit kind of, a lot.
Well, ride a
they
bus.
Come from a place where there's like a billion people, so it's kind of like you fight to get your way around.
Ride a bus.
And shout to be heard sort of thing.
Ride a bus through Chinatown, and you'll feel a little bit of the wrath.
I walk through it every day.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big dude, and I try to walk. I'm basically like a salmon swimming upstream.
Either direction, though.
Yeah, like trying to get past all the people running for the bus. And, like, I'm a big dude, and I just walk straight, and they just don't give a fuck. They'll just bounce off me and keep going.
You also don't go on YouTube and complain about it to the world looking a complete fool.
No, I admire them. I admire them. I have nothing but reverence.
You just go to Chinatown to hug strangers.
They don't give a fuck. I love it.
You guys are great. Keep it up.
I'll be here again tomorrow.
I bet they go on YouTube and they're like, there's a stupid-ass big white guy who goes the wrong way through a giant crowd.
And he's all like, sure, dear, but so mighty, but walk right through.
Dug it, jump, blah, derp.
We're clearly all walking the same way on purpose.
God, hey, can we get a hold of some fake racist English talk? Is there a place we can get that? I would love to hear that.
I don't know what terms to Google.
A dunk, a chub, a bubble. There's like this old video, and it's this Italian guy who didn't speak English but tried to make a song that sounded like English, and it actually worked out pretty well. I can't remember the name right now. I'll see if I can find it.
Was it Friday?
It was not
Friday.
Isn't there like the white voice that every black comic does when they're going?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chip?
It basically sounds like Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, it does. Hey, Chip, don't go in there.
Shit, man. They all say shit, man, for some reason. Oh shit, man.
Richard Pryor always used to be like, come here, you jerk off. Everybody was a jerk off.
Yeah, I do. Dave Chappelle's...
Jesus Christ, man.
Dave Chappelle's fake white guy is amazing.
I didn't know you couldn't do that.
I thought I would just stick my penis through the hole in my pajama bottoms.
Yeah.
I have an update, guys, on my Facebook. Two people commented. One said, that is Warren G. And then the other person said, yeah, picture select fail. Meanwhile, keep in mind that this is a picture of Warren G that says Warren G on it with a caption that says RIP Nate Dogg. So,
that is Warren G.
So I'm in full denial mode, so I've already commented, no, it's not.
Are you trolling your own Facebook page?
I am trolling my own Facebook page.
And commenting on your own updates?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I'm stoking the fire.
It has begun.
Yes.
I got a crazy idea, you guys.
What?
We could talk about a movie.
Nah.
We're having so much fun, though.
I know we are.
Let's
but you know what else? I mean, I know you guys didn't see it, so it's not as fun for you. But Laramie, how ridiculous was Battle Los Angeles?
Phenomenal. So good. You guys didn't see it?
I did not see it.
So mad.
It was not quite. If they took out some of the shaky cam and put in a few more ridiculous pep talks throughout the movie, it would have been as good as Jonah Hex was.
It's amazing. So you've seen it, though?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember the scene where he like calls for help like an hour and a half into the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. You be him, and I will be what would actually happen. Go.
We need help. We're pinned down.
Hey, look outside. The sky is on fire. You're screwed. We're not coming. Click.
I have another. You be the guy. You be the commanding officer telling me that they don't have an Air Force, so we're gonna rule the air.
This is a ground only army. We are set.
The aliens, they're ground only.
Yep.
So we're gonna rule the air.
Yep.
Over the aliens that they came here from space.
Yeah, they got here from space, but now they're ground only.
So they can't. They flew from thousands of light years away. And they didn't bring any planes?
Nope, they're all just ground troops.
How did they get all of the ground troops onto the spaceship without having some sort of plane or any plan? It seems odd, don't you think?
Just go out there and do your job, Marine.
I will, sir. You know why? Do you know why, sir?
You tell me, sir.
Because Marines never quit.
And I'm also too old for this shit.
Yeah, I'm too old for this shit, but God damn it, sir, I got a chin cleft. And
there's also two scenes where someone says, "It's like nothing I've ever seen before," regarding the alien. Yeah. And you're like, "Oh, really? This is your first alien invasion?"
Shocking that you've never seen this before.
So it sounds like the aliens are about on par with the intelligence level of the aliens from Signs, who invaded the planet that's covered with 2/3 of water.
It's the opposite this time, because they love water.
Oh.
Yeah, they come here. They came here to steal our, my favorite thing is like, so they come here.
They love water, but they forgot planes this time. So yeah, maybe it's the same aliens.
No, they
made improvements.
Not again.
Yeah, they made improvements. Oh, we figured out how to not like be allergic to water. Oh, but we forgot planes.
Doug, did I tell you to load the planes or what?
Todd, I don't need this right now.
they come to Earth.
One scene where they shoot down a newly found plane. They evidently have planes. And he goes to find the alien in it and realizes it's a drone. And he goes back to like the group and he goes, "That plane wasn't manned. It was a drone." And it like hits them that these aliens are really advanced technologically. And you're thinking, so they came up with drones after the interstellar travel or before?
During.
I mean, like, why is a drone intimidated after they've flown into your... Yeah. Anyway.
Shit, we have drones.
And then, I like the part where like the entire sky is on fire and everything's blown up. And then for some reason, they can still get internet access to pull up CNN where the guy's like, we figured out that the aliens like salt water and the ocean has already gone down 2 feet. I was like, really? We're in the middle of a war, and not only is there still internet access, but someone measured the entire ocean.
There's one really dedicated marine biologist. This doesn't look good for the whales.
Yeah.
The absolute best part, though, of the CNN coverage is they go, "Civilians are urged to evacuate to forward operating bases, or FOBs." So, like, if they get there, and they're like, "Please let me in." They're like, "What's the acronym?" "Oh, they're going to kill me." "What's it called? Where are we?" "FOB." "Okay. You can come in."
Wait, so let me guess the ending. They solve global warming because the aliens sucked up enough seawater that the glaciers aren't going to melt and kill us for at least another 150 years?
No, what is the one problem all alien civilizations have?
They get too sick.
They're not resistant to diseases.
They wait until the sequel to finish their business.
Nope, they always have one structural problem.
Disease?
Nope, they always do their resources in one mothership every single time.
Yeah,
and you just infect that one with a computer disk, and you're good.
He gives a pep talk. My favorite part of the entire movie was Aaron Eckhart. There's like a little Mexican kid whose father just died, and Aaron Eckhart's
Hector Rincon. You mean?
Yes. Yeah, who? What else was that guy in? That guy was he's an Observe and Report. He was like the other dumb guy in Observe and Report, and he's given that speech that's exactly like Patton Oswalt's bit about cops. Which I've got here
on the show. One of my favorite things to watch for on Cops, and you can watch for this too. This is the cop comforting the kid scene, and this happens about every 3 or 4 episodes. This is where the cops are dragging the kid's parents out of the trailer park, and the kid is just really letting go with, apparently, a diet of Chocodiles and Cheetos really strengthens the lungs because, oh my, these kids can send it bouncing all over the tin walls of that fucking trailer. So now the cop has to do that real fatherly kneel down to the kid and try to calm him down, which is just amazing to watch because he's like, all right, you gonna, yeah, you gonna stop crying, huh? Gonna be my big brave guy, huh? You're going to be my big brave guy? Well, your dad did a silly thing. You can't take a swing at the cops when they show up? No. And that's why we hit him with sticks for an hour. And he is going to go to a magic room downtown where he's going to sleep it off. And he's going to come back in a better mood.
Yeah, and that was pretty much the exact same where Aaron Eckhart's got this kid. He's like, You're gonna be brave.
You're gonna be brave,
my Marine.
Set up the scene because his dad dies, right? And he runs into the arms of Aaron Eckhart, and everyone looks at him like, "Well, he's your son now, dude. Sorry."
Will you be my white daddy?
He chose you,
son. I don't see any sort of butt chin on you. You can't be mine.
And he's like, son, are you gonna be my big brave Marine? And he's like, yes. And he's like, yeah, you are. And you know why? And the kid's like, because Marines don't quit. And Aaron Eckhart's like, that's right, son. Marines don't quit.
And then they strapped like, a bunch of grenades on him and threw him in the mothership.
And they fucking salute each other. And
the worst part is, later on he calls him the bravest Marine he's ever seen or something.
So wait.
He's like six. And he hasn't done anything but cry.
Wait, is this kid's Mexican?
Yeah.
All right, that's interesting because I have a friend who worked to advertise this movie, and they sent out these briefs that are like, target audience, Mexicans looking to join the United States Army.
Under the age of 7.
Apparently.
There's a great
thing. It's very
specific. It was like really specific, and she's like, check this brief out. This is ridiculous. I can't believe this is attached to the movie and official paperwork. It's like Mexicans looking, well, I guess it'd be the Marines, right? Or Armed Services. Mexicans looking to join the Armed Services.
Brendan does bring up a point. Did he have a full mustache?
Yeah. They tend to mature earlier.
He just had a starter. Oh. A little starter.
Vince, how about the scene where they're flying into Battleground LA? The aliens are on the ground. They're flying
in. He had
a
horchata mustache. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they're chopping in. And the one soldier goes to Eckhart. He goes, promise me you won't let the aliens drag me away, Staff Sergeant. And Eckhart looks at him, deadpan, goes, there's no promises in combat. And you're like, hey, dick, we're about to fly into a war zone. How about you throw me a thumbs up or a peace sign or whatever, man? Like, this isn't the time to be teaching fucking lessons on the way to get killed. Jesus.
You're going to get murdered the fuck out by some space aliens.
So, Staff Sergeant, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and stay on the helicopter. I'm going to observe.
No promises.
I'm going to observe from here. And you guys, hey, go get them. Give them hell.
I'm in a reconnaissance mission. My favorite part was, like, the only way that we're supposed to like these characters, we don't see the characters do anything. It's just like they show a guy and then they have like his name in a title card on the bottom of the screen, and then it'll just be like 5 seconds of him shooting in the shit with his buddies.
There was like 30 names in a row.
And yeah, and it was like, and the way that we're supposed to get to like them is like Aaron Eckhart goes into his boss's office to deliver his retirement papers because, you know, of course the aliens are going to invade. Just after he retires,
it's the lethal weapon rule.
Yes, and he pulls up a picture on his boss's desk. He's like, "Hey, remember when we took the picture with that camel? I mean, your girlfriend."
Jocularity.
Zing! And there's so many. And then there's the other good line was, "Lenahan, you wouldn't know your ass. You wouldn't know your ass from a hot rock."
I don't. That's my dad used to say to me.
It's just a bunch of
while you're drinking out of Frisbees.
Were they going to have a...
Well, they get into combat against these aliens, right? And the aliens immediately take the high ground and start shooting at them. And that's like 30 minutes. That. And they keep getting confused, like, where are these guys coming from? They're right above you. You keep seeing them on the roofs shooting down at you. Like, learn a lesson.
Did they have at least cool plasma guns or anything?
It was never... It was a little unclear about
what
their
the
weaponry.
Aliens look like? They hot?
They're like...
They hot?
They didn't really show them that much. It was like they had sort of.
Would you fuck one of the aliens?
I guess.
Vince, explain where the alien's weak spot is.
Vagina.
Oh, yeah. So at one point, they finally find like a dying alien. So Aaron Eckhart drags it into this warehouse, and he's got his knife, and he's like, "All right, we're going to find out how to kill these bastards. So basically, he cuts it open, and he's stabbing different organs to, like, see how to kill it.
This doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I just wanted to see him stab him somewhere, and then, like, the alien comes on his face. He's like, oh, don't shoot him in the left arm. They really like that.
Or his own leg. Like, nope, still not it.
Yeah. So he finally figures out how to kill him, and he's like, all right, guys, I know how to kill him. Aim for the heart.
No, you've got it wrong. It's worse than that. They peel back 17 layers of this skin, and they punch this, like, water thing. He goes, it's to the right of where your heart would be. So it's in air? Like, I should shoot the air next to the alien?
Shoot my armpit?
And the vet, who's looking at the alien, goes, I've never seen anything like this. It's an alien. Yeah, we got it. You're surprised.
So anyway, everybody go out and see Battle Los Angeles.
Pretty
find,
good.
Well, we find did, piece of cinema.
We did get an email with all the cliches that happen. This is a Vincent as well. Emailed us. Vincent Feliciano said he wrote out all the cliches that happen in the movie. And since the two of you saw it, you can confirm whether these happen. So he put them all together. Starts off, grizzled Marine NCO pissed that he survived while soldiers have died.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's one scene where...
Survivor guilt.
Where, yeah, so Aaron Eckhart gives a speech, because he gives a lot of speeches in the movie, and he has one about survivor guilt, and he's like, you know...
You think I wouldn't trade places with them?
Yeah, you think I wouldn't trade places with them in a heartbeat? I would, but I can't. And now they're dead, and I'm here. Like the punchline to a bad joke. And that line drew huge laughs from the entire theater, and that was my favorite part, because it was just so meta.
I see their faces every second of every day.
Oh yeah, he reads off their, like, badge number or whatever, just to show that how much he cares about.
That's like
Marines.
12 minutes in the movie is him reading off all the badge numbers.
Yeah. Well, also, like, the soldiers throughout the thing are Marines, rather. Don't call them soldiers. Don't get in trouble. Are like, that's the guy who got everybody killed. Like 3 feet away from him, you know. Like throughout, even when they're, like, taking enemy fire, they're like, this guy's the worst.
And they're always like, I'm not fighting for that guy. Hey, fuck this guy, because you know you can totally do that.
That's
in the
Staff Sergeant Dickface.
And they go through, like, the 7 stages of grief so quick. Like when someone gets killed, they, like, punch the wall. They're like, why did it have to be him? And you're like, everyone is getting shot right now. They are attacking the entire city.
Your entire platoon got killed. Thing. 5 seconds ago. Why are you caring all of a sudden?
Well, and when the dad dies, they take it so hard. When Mr. Rincon, like, someone comes into the room and there's like 7 Marines standing around and they go, Staff Sergeant, Mr. Rincon's dead.
No!
And they all just look down like the president's died or something. Like, I don't even know. They just met this dude.
Don't you die on me, Mexican!
And he clearly was dying. He was bleeding out. You think he'd make peace with that and move on. But no, they're pretty upset. All right. And he goes, no more civilians are dying on my watch. And then they go, what about us, Staff Sergeant? You going to leave us behind?
Yeah, just like I did last time, dick.
No promises in combat, bitch.
Nope, no promises in combat.
So we got some more cliches. We got the, I'm too old for this shit. Eckhart is retiring because he's old.
True.
Old Staff Sergeant about to retire, and then invasion! Young Marine about to get married. And then invasion.
A few of those.
And there's a speech where he goes, don't worry, you're going to live and you're going to marry Charisse.
Lieutenant with pregnant wife just got out of officer school, placed in charge of unit. Surprise. He can't wait for combat. Another shocker. The grizzly.
And you know who that guy is? He's from Transformers. He's the kid who.
Shia LaBeouf?
Nope. The kid who, like, doesn't want to go to battle or whatever, and he's always scared.
Oh man, that guy was annoying.
Why would he put that character?
Oh yeah, he's Shia LaBeouf's roommate.
Like,
in
even
Transform.
When they're writing it, doesn't it hurt them to read it?
Oh, guy, that guy's awful. So he can't wait for combat. Another shocker: the grizzled staff sergeant calmly advises him that combat it's all cracked up to be.
Wow,
Marine.
What? He does say that. Yep.
Marine's distrustful of staff sergeant because of rumors surrounding his clouded past.
Well, it's worse than that. It's he killed off the dude's brother. Like, somehow they couldn't figure it out to not assign him to his brother's platoon or whatever.
Was it friendly fire?
No, he tried to save him, and, you know, he did his best.
Finish whatever. The cliches, because right. I think he missed one.
All right. Well, then here's a quote. You're going to make it, man. Michelle Rodriguez actually plays an Air Force tech nerd. A tough Latina Air Force tech nerd that kills aliens and blows shit up. I'm not leaving anyone behind. Not again.
not again definitely happens. That's amazing.
That's an order.
This, yeah.
You're going to live, Marine, and that's an order.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Well, all right, so this, he writes, this gets extra cliche points because the order is to leave him behind so he can sacrifice himself to blow up some more advancing aliens.
You know what's funny, too, is Chappelle totally did that, where he had, like, the fake movie where the guy's, like, dying, and he's like, permission to die, sir.
Yeah, that's right.
You report to heaven at 0800, and that's an order.
He does, when Eckhart walks away and he's about to, the dude's about to blow himself up, he goes, I'm right behind you.
Yeah.
There's a couple more quotes. Give this letter to my wife for me.
Oh, yes.
I've lost some good men out there. No way. No way, man. I can't let you go down there by yourself. That's a suicide mission.
I forgot about that.
That thing in military slash action movies where the leader decides to strike out on his own, and then as he starts walking away slash resupplying his ammo, the rest of the squad falls in line with him. This happens like 3 times in the movie.
We couldn't let you go alone, Staff Sergeant.
Yeah.
And then there's one more. We are not going to die in here.
Yeah.
This is Sparta!
The one that I would like to add is there's also the 17-year-old version whose mom, quote, lied so that she could get him into the Marines. And I'm like,
what is this, World War I?
I'm pretty sure you can't do that anymore. Yeah. We have, like, social security numbers.
Oh, no,
totally.
Don't let anyone
stuff
in. And that was from film. He wrote then, Film Drunkard Witty Phrase. So thanks, Mr. Phrase.
Yeah, that was good. That's a good way to take those all down.
Was that that summed up the movie pretty well?
Yeah, yeah, you pretty much
covered
it.
Did you notice the one thing? They start out during the day. They're fighting aliens, and then it becomes night. And they're fighting aliens, and then like 3 minutes later, it's day again.
Yeah,
did you notice that?
There was one point where they like broke into the command center, and it was night, and there was no hard cuts or anything. And then they pop out of the roof, and it's day, and you're like, "What the fuck?"
Well, I don't think they explained it, but the aliens were controlling the sunlight.
Yeah,
they didn't have planes, but they did have control over the sunlight.
Also, your continuity PA, they just got this fucking.
There's no dogfights because I guess those cost extra in effects.
Oh yeah,
so
well,
like,
they don't have an
air force, and all of a sudden they have a huge air force, and then our air force is back, and theirs is gone.
Yeah, it's too bad they couldn't figure out small manned aircraft as opposed to just the monster mothership.
We did not rule the air for very long, I'll say that. But Brendan,
yes,
did you want to talk about Rango? Even though I feel like I already covered it last week.
Yeah, but no one listened to that part. Everyone fast
forwarded. It was boring.
That part. Oh wait. One last cliche. They start the movie with California Love, and I'll leave it at that.
Really? Oh, shit, I didn't even remember
that. I love that song, but that's not a movie song.
Oh, wait, yeah, so wait.
At the beginning, Aaron Eckhart is recovering from his jog. This is how they establish that he's getting old, and he's just like all sore after his jog. And the guy comes up, and he's like, Sergeant, they say you're only as old as you feel. And Eckhart's like, well, then I must be in trouble, because I don't feel anything. And they both laugh. And I'm like, but wouldn't that make you
California Love?
Yeah, that sounds like.
Wouldn't that make you 0 years old? I don't understand.
That sounds like it should be the end, and they do like the Chip style thing where they laugh and then it freeze frames. And it plays
it freeze frame as they jump up and high five.
But the Chips thing, remember that show Chips? They would do like the laugh and then freeze frame, and then like they would roll like 5 credits, and then it would unfreeze, and then like something else would happen.
Every 80s sitcom ended with a freeze frame.
I feel like we don't have enough freeze frames anymore.
Yeah. Right.
I miss those.
Well, because now they like minimize the screen and like run ads.
Was it Election where they did it where they'd freeze frame someone when they had like a really stupid expression?
Yes.
God, that movie's brilliant.
Her pussy gets so wet you wouldn't even believe it.
Yeah. And then it like he's talking about, I'm thankful for what I'm told is a big penis. And then like the next cut, it just sort of, it's like a fade into like a bowl of bananas on the... on the counter, and then like it goes. Yeah, that movie's so awesome.
That movie's brilliant.
Elections. Yeah. Wait. So why are the aliens only attacking L.A.?
No, they're attacking.
No, they attack
everywhere.
Like 20 places.
It's just
that L.A.'s.
Well, mostly they want to take over the entertainment industry.
It's just L.A.'s got all the cameras to film a movie about it.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the movie, they're like, "We're not losing Los Angeles," and I'd be like,
"Burn it
not?
Down, burn to the ground, spaceman."
To be honest, this wasn't explained. Vincent Laramie didn't want it. Spoiler alert. So they were coming to steal the producers of Rebecca Black's song, and they're going to take them back to their planet because they're really – the pop stars are dying on their planet.
We don't have an Air Force or robot songs.
Do you realize every day could be Friday on our planet?
The other thing they did was they go, you got 3 hours till all the missiles launch. Like somebody's waiting, like we got to give people time to get out. No, I know they're advancing, Just give them 3 hours. Yeah.
There's aliens here. Top priority is to save these 10 civilians before we blow shit up. That's the second time she's had to make her mind up about which seat she's going to take.
Play the party and party and party.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Party and party and
yeah!
Party and party and
yeah!
The one thing she says is, which seat can I take?
Yeah.
Almost like it's an existential battle in her own head.
Is there ever a seat I could not take?
This
is
whole
this
thing's about
my
her
destiny.
Learning confidence. And does anyone get the feeling this whole thing was like an elaborate bat mitzvah present?
Or a parody on all of our
I thought it was fake at first.
I'm all for bat mitzvah. That reeks of bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty elaborate video.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's just...
Hey, did you talk to the people and find out how much it is?
How much what is?
That's what a real journalist would have done.
What do you mean? How much
yeah,
what is?
Call
how
the
much
producers.
It is to fucking get one of us to do this.
Oh, shit.
Vince, come on,
that.
Man.
I don't have time. You just said it like 10 minutes ago.
Vince.
I know, but that should have been an instinctual response.
I'm not that good a journalist.
Vince, it's like $4,000 or something.
No, if it's under four, I'd consider it.
How's she going to... I hope they have money left over for a boob job.
Guys, let's use our Fraudcast money.
Vince, you should make a really depressing song called Monday.
Because she did leave that out, right? There's still room. There's still room in the time of week space.
Well, but
you'd have to explain when Monday was pretty well, though.
Right.
Yeah, she's making a 7-song EP.
Sue Westside, Sue Westside, no!
Well, because Monday really is a sad day. She wanted to leave. She probably left it out on purpose. Didn't want to make the song a downer.
Yeah, this is a party song. You got to lead off with your most upbeat single.
Throwing up on airplanes.
Sunday
Which
night,
pill
Sunday
should
night.
I take?
So yes, I did see Rango.
What? What? You're like Vince.
Vince was like nodding
laser,
my way.
Lizard-like focus.
You look like you're about to say something.
Oh. You said he has a lizard-like focus?
He just like popped all the way back up.
Yeah.
No, but I wish I would have.
No, but Rango did. Let me tell you about it. No, actually, I have really not much new to add. It was like good, not great. I thought pretty much most of the same stuff that I had pretty much the same reactions Vince did.
No one listened to what Vince had to say, including myself. So.
Wait, so you're clamoring for this, and all you can say is, yeah, I don't know. I agree.
No, in fact, I was going to say, since I don't really think that I'm bringing anything new to the table, I'd like to share with you a story that I heard today.
Boom.
I was talking to Justin Halpern of Shit My Dad Says fame. We've had him on the Fraudcast a couple times.
He's telling me how wet his girlfriend's pussy gets.
Right.
So I'm jacking off.
We were talking over IM about...
I'm jacking off on the shooter.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I haven't.
Come on, you guys. Quit being so Asian.
I haven't flushed yet, see?
Why is Brendan like a 20s gangster when he's jerking off on the toilet? Justin, I haven't flushed yet, see?
He's got attitude at that point.
I'm about to shoot my pecker, see?
Get to the good part. I'm the double.
23 screw.
Enormous eruption.
Well played.
Wow. Skype also lends itself well to like 20s newscaster voice.
It does. Yeah. It deepens and oldifies the voice.
Good story so far, Brendan.
Thanks. I couldn't have done it without you guys. So I was just talking to Halpern the topic of Danzig came up because, well, I'm a huge Misfits fan. I know Vince and I are both really big Misfits fans. But we also find the whole idea of Glenn Danzig funny. Like, what do you think Danzig's doing right now? You know, that sort of stuff.
We also have a fake Glenn Danzig
Twitter.
We do
have a fake Glenn Danzig Twitter that we've kind of been neglecting, but Paulie dangerously has done a nice
updating
job.
Updating everyone.
You've been updating it? Anyway, so as soon as I bring it up, Justin goes, oh, my God, holy shit, Danzig. I lived right down the street from him in L.A., and I was like, no fucking way. You got to tell me about it. So apparently he lives in this shithole house. And by the way, Justin starts sending me like links to Google Street View to back it up. It looks like the fucking house from The Burbs, except not as big. And like I even like closed in on it, and like the Venetian blinds are all like busted and like bent and like tilted and stuff. I mean, it looks like a total shithole.
That's because his cat's just running wild.
Yeah, and there was no car in the driveway, but he's like, it's a shitty house, but he's got this nice Jag in the driveway, so he drives like a Jaguar. But he was telling this story about how he had just this enormous pile of bricks in the front yard, and so. He says that like he was pissing off all the neighbors because A, he's an asshole, and B, there's this ugly ass pile of bricks in his like unkempt front yard. I mean, all the vegetation is like overgrown. It just looks like shit. And so Justin says he's walking down the street one day and he sees Danzig out front chucking bricks into a dumpster, yelling, "You see this? I've thrown these fucking bricks into my dumpster. You happy now, bitch?" Yelling at the neighbor.
Oh, man.
Didn't Danzig buy the Ghost of Christmas Future's house?
Yes, he did. He did. But that was in Aqua Teen, not in real life.
Wait, so...
IRL?
The end of this,
IRL.
To finish that story...
I would definitely tell my children not to walk that way.
Yes.
To finish the story, Brendan's moving away from the Bentley dealership and down the street from Glenn Danzig.
Yes, I am. I would love to live down the street from Glenn Danzig.
I am going to steal those bricks, and I'm going to love them forever.
I picture him shirtless with a devil lock, just sort of looking out at the top of his eyeballs.
Well, you know what's funny is I had this running joke with one of my coworkers about, like, what do you think Glenn Danzig's doing? Like, he's probably washing his car in the driveway like a total jack-off. And then, sure enough, after the story came out, I told my coworker because we both got a kick out of it, and he just did a Google image search for, like, Danzig's house, and he found like an image of Glenn Danzig washing his fucking Jaguar in the driveway. It's so goddamn funny.
I feel like Mike Ness would still be a much bigger blowhard, like with waxing some stupid ass like rockabilly like, car with flames and skulls on it.
I bought fucking this car Mike from Ness. Billy Gibbons.
Yeah. I don't even know who that is, and that's funny.
It's the guitarist from ZZ Top.
He pouted so hard when Block Party got more time on the headlining stage than he did.
Where
he
was
like
this?
It was like a fucking what is it called?
PB Block Party?
No, it was the whatever. Anyway,
fucking.
He was fucking. You know, I've been to a bunch of concerts.
Wait, what did Junior College Armin White think of Rango?
It's fucking. I don't know.
Did you
embody the character?
Hey, Junior College Armin White. Did you smoke or go edibles?
Gotta go edibles when you're in the theater, man. They kick in right around the beginning of the second act, bro.
Someone's trying really hard to bloop in.
So you guys saw Vincent, Brendan, you guys saw Paul.
I guess everybody hung up on him. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did see Paul.
Armin White must have been unprepared.
Laramie, so it's not. It's out on this Friday, correct?
Yes, it is.
And does he have any sort of spacecraft that could take over the skies?
No, it did not take over my heart, I'll tell you that.
So, my take from the trailer, I did not see it and will not see it, the CGI...
That is smart.
The CGI looked awful of the alien.
I didn't think that was not one of my problems.
The big joke is that he brings a bird back to life and then eats it? Like that's the big joke, too,
of the whole movie, actually.
I want Ben to never see a movie again and just complain about the trailers while you guys...
Yeah.
I like this.
To get me to see the movie, like... You ate a bird.
Here's the things I hate about your stupid movie. Love, Ben.
Well, I will say...
The main problem with Paul, though, is that there's no jokes.
Yeah, there really isn't. It's just all a lot of... It's like kind of cute things, but there's not a lot of laughs. It's one of those movies that's not very fun to review. It's just like...
It just sort of happened.
It's kind of funny, but not really that funny. And there's no real jokes.
The comment I made to Vince on the way out was the movie was like one big long wink to movie geeks. And it was like, but not even in a good way. I thought in Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, they made fun of like zombie stuff, or they made fun of cop movie stuff, and it was relevant and it was funny in the context that they were doing it. Whereas this one, they were just like throwing out lines from movies. And there's this climactic car chase scene, and the two cars pull up alongside each other, and Bill Hader's character goes, "Smile, you son of a bitch," which is the line from Jaws, you know, at the end when he shoots the tank in its mouth. But it was like completely appropriate to nothing. It had nothing to do with anything. It was just like, hey, we're going to throw out a movie reference.
It's the difference between an homage and a blatant just sort of jerk off on it.
Well, like Hot Fuzz was sort of taking the cliches of 80s action movies and like doing something with them and like making a joke around them.
What Shaun of the Dead
was
did.
No, it was a little different. That was like actually a decent zombie movie, right? Like you kind of were sad when his mom died.
Right.
It was just completely self-aware. Like, hey, look what we did. We just quoted a movie.
Yeah. Right. And it was
and one of the jokes was that Kristen Wiig had a bad eye. Like, that was the whole joke.
Yeah. Or that she learned to cuss for the first time.
That's not a joke. That's just a thing.
Did Simon Pegg is his name, correct?
Yeah.
Did he write and
him and Nick Frost wrote it. And the director, Greg Mottola, I loved his other two movies, so I actually had high hopes for this
Which
one.
Were?
Superbad and Adventureland.
Oh.
I think the problem was that Edgar Wright had writing credits on Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead and didn't write it all on this.
Yeah, and I think a good example was there's a bunch of scenes where characters faint. Like, the big running joke is that they see the alien and they faint. And I get that that's like an homage to a lot of those 80s DreamWorks movies where people would see the alien and everybody was fainting, but there was no take on the fainting. It was just like, we're reusing the fainting gag, and that's going to be a joke somehow. It's like, not really. It was kind of dumb the first time. And
it was like when JP was, some kid went in and told him that, JP's our crazy French film professor, and some kid went in and
teaching
told him that,
is not about being bored or being boring. Boring is about the grand clowning act of child molestation.
Sometimes you strap on the swim fins and you jump in the kiddie pool.
I will be the guy riding around your neighborhood with my little bike going ring, 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 ring. Someday you will get out of my class and you'll be sitting in the multiplex watching your blockbuster movie, and I will be the attractive French man over your shoulder saying, no, this is bullshit.
he's like the smartest guy alive, but some dude, some fucking jerk off, office hours loving motherfucker, went into his place and told him that Kill Bill was the best movie ever created because Uma Thurman wore the same suit as Bruce Lee. And he's like, I did not even respond. I just closed the door slowly. Office hours are over.
They're worried about getting probed. And Paul gets a bagel and puts his finger in it and goes, hey, guys, you want a bagel? Like,
I thought that was one of the most successful jokes in that entire movie.
Right, and that's saying something. And that's saying something.
A visual gag.
Oh, man.
But no, some Three Stooges after that?
I could probably go on for days and days, but I got a lot of the movie references, but it didn't make me feel any more special, or it didn't make it any more funny. I was like, how about just some funny fucking jokes?
Wish you would have filled your life with real human connections?
Exactly.
There was no subtext. The only subtext, Scott Pilgrim is a lot of pop culture references, but there was a very clear subtext, and it sort of made the references made sense, and they brought something to this entire subtext. Whereas this, the subtext of the movie was they're not, nerds are nicer to aliens because nerds read about aliens.
I mean, there's one of the things that the way they attracted Paul's mothership to take him home was with fireworks. And so the big firework thing they bought was called the Five Tones because they played the Five Tones to get them to appear in Close Encounters. And it was just shit like that, but there's no payoff to recognizing that. It was just crap. And then there's this whole shoehorned scene where it turns out that Paul was advising Steven Spielberg on what to make the alien like in E.T. But he's in the room at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark where they hide the Ark of the Covenant. But then there's just that has nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
This pointless Family Guy style cutaway.
Should it have been called Alien Movie?
It seriously could have been. Said something about that.
I talked to someone who said that I guess Peg and Frost wanted to make it more of an overt sort of the theme would be creationism and whether we're alone in the universe and all that stuff, which would make sense. Kristen Wiig's character is this crazy religious person who she sees the alien and she loses her faith in God. But that was all just totally in the background. I guess they wanted to write that. That was supposed to be what everything was wrapped around in the movie, but they wouldn't let them to do that way. And it kind of shows. It's just sort of this movie that's completely about nothing.
Which is sad because now it's going to make $1 billion.
I don't know.
Nothing happens in the whole movie. And there's not enough geeks to support it.
Do you think it's going to make money? I don't know. But the crowd I saw it with loved it. They seemed to love it. Laughing in their asses off at it.
Really?
Yeah.
And everything was so predictable. You could just see every single thing coming.
It's inoffensive. It's not actually funny, but it's cute. That smells like a recipe for fucking America. That's American manners right there.
Yeah, but it's not, I don't know. It's a little nerdy. It's kind of, It is kind of anti-middle America.
But it's pop culture nerdy. It's not smart nerdy, is it?
It is kind of. It's kind of smart nerdy, but without a point.
Hmm. Wow, that's alienating.
It's just more. Yeah, it's like.
Oh.
It's like, hey,
I've been drinking.
It's like, hey, remember that? I don't know. I mean, I've seen a like almost every movie they're referencing, but there was a ton of stuff that I wouldn't have got if Brendan wasn't sitting next to me.
The main reference was a not funny movie, though. I mean, that was the main
yeah,
thing they were drawn from.
An homage to stuff that's not really that funny.
I saw a part of Crystal Skull.
Woo. Yeah, wow.
That was Spielberg. It was the trigger for that.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, I don't know how people can still call Spielberg like
a director,
one of the greatest filmmakers alive. It's like, dude, if you just watched, if you saw a final cut of that movie and you still allowed it to go in theaters.
Oh,
Jesus,
you know what's
Christ.
Fucked up is this was like 2 weeks ago and I was pretty hungover and I was watching parts of Crystal Skull and my girlfriend was doing homework and every time it'd be on, she's like, can you change it? And I'd switch it to Judge Dredd and she would have zero problem with that.
Yeah.
And I'd change it back over the commercial. She's like, what the fuck is this movie? Will you turn it off? And so I'd switch it back to Judge Dredd. I like how his gun talks to him. He's like, grenades.
I never
it's
saw
like,
that.
Grenades.
Oh, that.
Not nearly as good as Demolition Man.
No.
Demolition
no.
Man is brilliant.
Rapid fire. I've always loved you. In
I
the
like
future,
how
all restaurants are Taco Bell.
Do you guys think Warhorse is going to be really good, though?
Warhorse? Doubtful.
Yep.
What's Warhorse?
It's Spielberg's new film.
When's the last passable movie that Spielberg made? Munich?
I like Munich a lot.
Yeah.
War of the Worlds?
No.
War of the Worlds.
No. That was bad. He should have done it like a steampunky thing, like
and
the original novel.
Even his good movies, I feel like,
Brendan's
are good,
nodding.
Are good in spite of Spielberg. Like Munich, you could tell was a good script, but Spielberg does like his super heavy-handed, like 30 extra seconds at every end of every
he's a product
scene.
Of the 80s. He never grew up. He's a less jugular Lucas.
But you know what War Horse is about? It's like Seabiscuit meets Saving Private Ryan.
Or Atonement.
Wait, it's a war movie about a horse?
Wait, is it World War One or two?
Yeah, it's a horse that gets separated from his
World War
rider who's also in the military.
It's World War One, right?
It's got to be World War One. They didn't really have much cavalry in World War Two.
You know what they did have? They had fucking samurais and dinosaurs and zombies.
Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
They inexplicably had like B-52 bombers, but it was...
Zack Snyder.
I'm calling that shit Sucker
bullshit.
Punch going to be?
The posters
know.
Make
oh my
it
God.
Look stupid.
They must have just been like, Zack Snyder sucked someone's dick or something. They're just like, okay, we're not going to exercise any creative control. Go ahead. And he's like, okay, so there's going to be a mech with a bunny on it, and they're going to be fighting in the trenches in World War One, but then there's also going to be World War II planes, but they're all hot chicks with machine guns.
It's
slow
gonna be
motion.
Oliver Kahul meets 300. When do they screen that for you, Vince?
I think it's this week or next week.
I want to go and then yell.
They're screening it here on Wednesday at 10:00 at night, and they sent me money asking if I could not attend.
What?
Like,
ooh.
Hey,
they sent you money?
No, I wish they would.
Yeah,
because I would not go to that movie for whatever piddly sum they gave you.
It just looks terrible.
$5. I will do it.
Oh. Have his money, and I will do it.
I will suck
Vince, did you want to, before we get out of here, you want to play the sitch?
Do we want to? All right. I mean, why?
I don't know. Roasts are gross.
I think roasts are painfully unfunny.
Yeah, I have a hard time with roasts.
I think roasts are...
You guys are dicks. I like them.
Now, a lot of people laughed at him for hooking up with his co-star, Snooki, but, you know, Italians are known for grinding organs with monkeys.
That's cute.
I thought that was good.
I like that joke.
Yeah, me too.
No need to clap.
It's Seth MacFarlane, right?
Please welcome the situation.
Why would they invite
of course,
him?
Is listen to that.
I could do without
joke.
Any other, oh. Any more fucking clap jokes. I feel like they've all been done.
That's the guy in the video.
Oh, really?
That is Laramie.
Oh, fuck! It's happening!
Which seat can I take?
Can you believe this guy with his cap teeth, his hair products, and his fake tan? I mean, you're actually looking good, bro. Now, I know a lot of you people are here tonight to watch everyone shit on the dumb guy that all the Italians are ashamed of and disgusted by. You know, Lisa Lampanelli. Backstage, she took my hand and shoved it down her pants, and I pulled out Larry King's teeth. And Snoop's Two Source Awards. Whitney, what's your deal? You look like the chicks I used to bang before I had all this money. Do it, baby, do it! You're a chick, right?
Okay,
on the Jersey Shore, we call ugly chicks grenades. But I actually wouldn't call you a grenade because you're not blowing up anytime soon.
This is painful.
Like, honestly, no, like... having listened to a bunch
scratch?
Of well, having listened to a bunch of roasts, none of these jokes are much worse than a lot of like Lisa Lampanelli's jokes.
No, they're the same. See, that's the thing.
It's the same thing. It's just that everybody hates him.
Yeah,
it's the delivery that's terrible.
Oh,
though.
Too, yeah. Skype.
Sorry,
no, that was Vince's fault.
Well, because they're two different levels. Sorry.
Well, first of all, yes, he's not a comedian. But every other so here's a roast to me. It's Lisa Lampanelli. It's Jeff Ross saying the same jokes.
Who's Lisa Lampanelli?
Just the stupid comedian chick that's like looks like a dude. That's a pretty fair description. And yeah, so if they said that, they'd be everyone.
Oh,
be,
they'd kill.
They'd be hooting and hollering, and I mean,
well, his delivery sucks.
He's not a comedian. They're hanging him out to dry though. He should not even be up there.
Hey, Jeff Ross, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Jeff, me and you have a lot in common, buddy.
What's that?
We're both from Jersey, and tonight's my first night doing comedy.
That's not horrible. It's not
again,
a horrible joke.
Someone else told that. It'd be
tell
fine.
Tell us about your last night, just so you know.
He's not a comedian. What would he, I mean.
All right. Enough of that. All right. I see you looking at me over there, Anthony Jeselnut. I know you're a little hater, but I know you're a funny dude as well. Because the other night I told one of your super funny jokes to a supermodel, and she was laughing while I was banging her brains out with the pile of money on the floor of my motherfucking mansion.
Okay, that's not funny.
That's
no
terrible.
Yeah, but he didn't write these. Like,
so I got nothing against you.
Can't write. It's not his fault.
Because she's like the fifth model this week to do that. So, you know what I'm saying, right? Maybe not. All right. Oh, boo.
You know what I'm saying,
let's get
right?
To the real situation, my man Donald Trump.
Why was he invited? I don't get why he.
I don't know.
Why are they roasting Donald Trump? There's a lot of whys.
I think
here.
Roasts are fucking so dumb.
What the fuck is going on?
Well, you're supposed to roast someone who's like respected and you know, but they keep doing the Comedy Central's thing is like, let's roast someone who's a fucking idiot who everyone hates, and it's like that's not really the point of a roast.
I
the one good thing about a roast is you get to use the word deus.
That is true. That is the only time.
I'm a deus.
I thought it was dias.
I'm a deus.
Is it the deus? I don't know.
That's a great
deus.
Song. Can we get that to play us out?
I don't.
I wanted Satan's butt cheeks.
Don't start making me do shit
I
on the computer.
Satan's
we're almost
cheeks.
Done.
I request the Tron Legacy soundtrack.
I'm a deus.
The
I'm
grid.
Deus. I'm a deus.
One day I got it. I have that.
You know what song's gonna play? I think you all know what song's playing us out.
Oh yeah,
Brendan. Wait. Let Brendan give his thing.
What?
Dude, you know his thing. He does the thing at the end.
Good night, good chance.
Hold on.
Front seat, in the back seat. I'm driving, cruising, fast lane, switching lanes with a car by my side.
Double lane rhyme. Yeah.
The two closest things to a rhyme is like lane and lane and driving and cruising.
Friday, it's a weekend. Yeah. We gonna have fun. Come on, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Play the whole thing.
Party and party, yeah!
Yeah! Oh, shit.
Fun. Yeah.
Fun. Wow. That's good times.
That is fun.
That is fun. That was fun.
We're done. Well, Laramie, and anywhere people you want people to find you, thanks for coming on.
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, enjoy your Friday if we don't talk to you.
Thank you.
And Brendan, officially take us out of here.
Yeah, frotcast@gmail.com. As always, send us your emails. We will read them on the air if we remember to do so. Everybody follow Twitter. Our fake Glenn Danzig Twitter. It's not Glenn Danzig on Twitter. So twitter.com/not Glenn Danzig.
If you guys can remember that.
Double, triple negative.
And that's Vince and I and Pauly Dangerously, the famous film drunk commenter. So until next week, good night and good chins.